Hey everybody, Adam Ray for the About Last Night podcast. Sorry we missed you on Monday, but we're here now. Had a little miscommunication with sending the episode. That's on me. I'm sorry. Do you forgive me? Please forgive me. But that just means you get back-to-back episodes. You get one today and then one tomorrow. Today, no guest. Just Brad and I. Back to the old days. We're starting to pump a few more of these out, pepper them in throughout the episodes with guests, just Brad and I. Super fun. Just so many laughs and tangents. And you know what's great about these episodes, too, is Brad and I end up learning things about each other just because this is the time when we, you know, aren't talking shop or just other, you know, on the surface banter. We really kind of get into some shit, and it's a lot of fun. And this episode is no different. Some weird shit came up. Enjoy the hell out of this episode, and tweet at us with hashtag ALN Podcast, and let us know that you loved the episode. And also make sure you're subscribed on iTunes and you've commented on the iTunes page. Takes 2 seconds. Rate the podcast 5 stars, and then comment on the iTunes page. Helps us climb the charts. Follow me on Twitter at Adam Ray Comedy. Follow Brad at Funny Brad, at ALN Podcast, at ALN Podcast on Instagram, Adam Ray Comedy on Instagram, Brad Williams Comic on Instagram. Live tour dates this weekend. Brad is in Philadelphia at the Helium Comedy Club Thursday through Saturday. Get your tickets at bradwilliamscomedy.com. I will be in St. Louis at the Funny Bone. Love this club. So pumped to go back, bringing my buddy Michael Anthony and Avery Pearson on the keys. First time bringing the music element, so pumped on that. Get your tickets. Me, St. Louis Funny Bone, tonight tomorrow through Saturday. So Thursday, Friday, Saturday. 3 shows on Saturday, 2 on Friday, 1 on Thursday. St. Louis Funny Bone in St. Louis, Missouri, baby. And then next weekend, of course, I'm doing the Kevin and Bean April Foolishness show at the Shrine here in Los Angeles. Big show. Get your tickets at krock.com. It's me, Angela Johnson, Jimmy Pardo, Jonah Ray, Taylor Williamson, Bill Burr, and some special guests that I can't say. But it's going to be bonkers. At the Shrine, 5,000, downtown L.A. Come out and see me. Of course, Brad and I are going to be at the Moon Tower Comedy Festival April 20th through the 22nd in Austin, Texas, doing a live ALN pod and some shows. So check out all that info at Moon Tower. I think austintheater.org is where you can get all the events. Or Google Moon Tower Comedy Festival. It's all there. ALN merch. Get it. Bring it to the shows. You know we can get it. AboutLastNightPodcast.com for all your shirts. Hats are up there now. Posters on the way. And that's it. Posters on the way. So are a bunch of dope episodes. We recorded the creator of Rick and Morty, fucking Will Sasso, some other special guests we just lined up for April and May. Of course, Zac Efron is still happening. The Adam Devine tour recap episode. So many great episodes and hours of conversations coming your way. Make sure you subscribe on iTunes. About Last Night Podcast. There it is. All right, we got the tour dates out of the way. Those are the Twitter handles, the merch info. Sit back, relax, and enjoy a brand new episode. Sorry we're late. Of the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray.
Well, the weekend's over, so it's time to chat about it. Got a midget and a Jew, so why don't you sit down and listen to our dope podcast during lunch, dinner, or breakfast. It's about last night.
I'll tell you, I go to a comedy club. Some guy named Adam Ray there. What's the deal with that?
Pretty good Seinfeld.
It's okay. Not my best.
Wait, I want to hear more.
You want to hear more?
Of the Seinfeld song.
Of the Seinfeld song.
By the way, I don't think I've gone past. It's just over and over again, huh?
Yeah, it's just a pretty hard bass line.
Dun, dun, key dun. Change.
Yeah. Not exactly an iconic Family Matters with the lyrics or Fresh Prince of Bel Air, but definitely a bass line where when you hear it. And then some popping sounds.
It would have been great if he came up to that. I doubt he's ever come up to that at a comedy club.
I'm sure he hasn't wanted to. Or maybe someone offered it like, hey, I know what you're gonna like. The Seinfeld theme, you know what I mean? Like, and then he seems like the kind of guy to be like, why would you do that? There's no possible way that that's the first time anyone's ever done that to me.
There's got to be, or even if you don't do the theme song, bring him up to that. Like, do you think anyone's ever gone up to him and be like, hey, Jerry? Like the same way people yell Adam Devine and go, tight butthole. Like, do you think people go, Jerry? Like, they probably go, what's the deal? But, like, it'd be really clever if you were like,
maybe, like, if you're like a Reggie Watts kind of guy, you could just do the sound effects.
Yes.
That,
you could do them really well. I bet you'd appreciate it.
That might be original. I'm sure the catchphrases of, you know, I'm blanking on Seinfeld catchphrases right now, even though I love the damn show.
Do you have catchphrases?
Not necessarily catchphrases, just like, what's the deal, yada, yada, yada. That was one of the key things in an episode. Anyway, we're talking about Seinfeld because while you were in New York, Jerry Seinfeld popped by.
Yeah, popped by. Popped in at the Gotham Comedy Club on Sunday night and did 40 minutes before I went up, which was amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd been hearing that he was popping in. And what's so cool is, like, your agent calls you. It's just like protocol. It's how great Gotham is. And they say, hey, Seinfeld's going to come in. Do you mind if he goes up and does time before you? Like, it's just courtesy call, but, like, who's ever saying no?
Right.
Who nobody goes, is the answer to that question.
Yeah, and I would hope not. I would hope nobody would be like, does he have to? Can he pop it on the late show? Can he stop for, like, 40 minutes? I don't know. Like, I don't know if there's comics out there that would do that. My philosophy is, yes, you want that. A, you want to see a Seinfeld set that some people would pay, you know, $70, $90 to see on the road for tickets, and you can see it for free.
Yeah.
And
don't realize, his tickets are in Vegas. They go for, I think, $100-some.
Yeah. Yeah, for really close seats.
So for whatever, $20-25 they paid to come see me, and they got that too. I mean, like,
yeah, and then the crowd's hyped, and then they go like, oh man, we got to go back to Gotham. We got to see Adam Ray. Like, you never know what's gonna happen.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, adds on to your. He came in, sport coat, hat, and then he sits down in the back and he's watching Sandy Danto, and I was like, I gotta go say something to him, like, because I know he's gonna split right after. Right. So I go up and I go, hey Jerry, my name's Adam. I go, this is my weekend. Thanks for popping on and making me look good. He goes, I didn't do this for you. And then he kind of laughs, and and he does that great. You know what's so funny is to see live, like the same way when you seeing any hero of yours that you've seen all the time, like shit man, seeing Chappelle, he would like laugh during Chappelle's show, like when he was hosting, and then seeing him live and see him crack himself up, like, see, it's cool thing. So same thing with Jerry, when I would see him, the way he would laugh on Curb, like, and you can tell it was genuine, or in an interview or something, like the way he just, like, his eyes really squint and his mouth like really opens, it was like cool. And then he goes, I didn't do this for you. And I go, yeah, sorry. And there's about 90 people there on the Sunday show, and I go, yeah, I promoted you hard. Sorry you couldn't sell it out. Times are changing, I guess. And he kind of laughed again. And then we talked about Curb.
I like that you had sort of the stones to go that route.
Yeah.
And you didn't just want to slurp them.
For sure.
Yeah.
And then I asked him for a picture, and because I was like, again, not a huge picture guy, but like,
some of them you kind of have to.
Dude, like, same thing with when I got one with Robin Williams. It's like certain people you meet and you go, you want to go. Like, I've heard people say, be on the same level. Like, treat them like a comrade or that you'll work with them someday. So, but, like, in my eyes, I'm like, look, man, like, legend in front of me. And I want that moment. Like, I don't care about the Instagram likes.
Yeah.
Although there were plenty.
Yes.
But, like, I want that for me. I want to be able to look at it and be like, and remind myself of that night. Because, dude, that is a moment where if you don't have photographic evidence, you're going to... It's another. We're traveling so much, dude. It's another weekend. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, the shows were amazing. It's New York. There's obviously more, a little bit more to it than like a some sort of gig in the Midwest, I guess. But like, I don't know. You want to capture that so that you can scroll through your phone or scroll through your Instagram, or maybe Facebook reminds you in 2 years and you go, oh yeah, that was...
oh yeah, I met Seinfeld 2 years ago.
Yeah, dude.
So yeah, it's just a cool thing. And when they say like, oh, try to be on the same level of someone, I mean, who's on the same level of Seinfeld? Like who? Who else out there? I mean, you got your Chappelle's and maybe in a few years Louis, but like his show revolutionized television. Like, yep. How many comics out there have that?
Yep.
And he's sort of coined the phrase, what's the deal? Like, that's a little more than, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that's a little more than, no slack on Larry the Cable Guy, but it's a little bigger than Get Her Done.
But, like, you know, but Larry the Cable Guy's Get Her Done is like, you know, the Midwest's,
well,
or the lowbrow, what's the deal?
Well, I mean, yeah, you don't have what's the deal painted on to backpacks at Walmart, which I've seen Larry the Cable Guy.
Or
yeah.
You know, burger flippers.
Yeah.
Man. Do they sell those?
Sure. Yeah. I think they're just called spatulas, but yeah,
Google.
They might have to go with barbecue burger flippers.
I'm going to Google Get Her Done merchandise.
Yes. Oh, there's
and
tons.
I would love to hear. Okay, so you've already Googled it yourself.
Yeah, there's like coffee cups. I know there's backpacks, T-shirts. There's a ton of stuff that you can just that you can get.
I mean, there's hats, obviously. Wow,
yeah.
Get Her Done hat. I spelled Get Her Done wrong, by the way. I said Get Her Done. It's Get Her Done.
Yeah, with the G-I-T.
Yeah.
But you know what? I think that's something that you kind of hang your hat on and say, I'm glad I didn't spell it correctly. Not that not being a fan of Larry is great, and he's a fantastic comic. Hell, he's sold out a football stadium, so we're not trying to knock Larry at all. But the fact that you put proper English in there, you know what? Score one for Adam Ray on that one.
Mountain Knife Works. I mean, he's Mountain Knives.
Knives?
He's got a whole golf collection.
So what? You have a hunting knife that says...
Looks like Swiss Army Knife, and then like pocket knives, and I don't know if that's a butter knife.
Wow.
I mean, look, I'm sure there's...
Because when you're about to stab someone, you have to let them know who your favorite comedian is.
Like, stab him with the bash. Yeah, dude. Oh, yeah. Here's fucking shirts and Gator Done. Down south we get...
Oh,
Gator Done. That looks like a ripoff of
is
it.
Is that like for the Florida Gators?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because he's probably... Yeah, because he's probably done
money
shows
for
there.
That.
I mean, I would hope so. But like... Does he really? I guess it's a parody.
Do you think having a shit ton of merch and selling a ton of merch is a, equates how great of a stand-up you are?
I mean, it equates that you were able to speak to the people and that you've had something kind of resonate with them. Like, I'm sure if Chappelle wanted to, he could have coined "I'm Rick James, bitch," and then just put that on everything. You know, I'm Rick James, bitch, ringtones and T-shirts and lunch boxes.
Yeah.
And you could have that on a pocket knife, because that might be something actually cool to yell when you're stabbing someone. You go, I'm Rick James, bitch. And then you kind of do that. That might go, like, as the guy's bleeding out, he might actually be like, oh, yeah, that's kind of cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I mean, you sell a lot of merch. Gabriel Iglesias, Joe Coy. I mean, like,
yeah.
And guess what? All popular comics.
Yeah,
I know that do it. And it's like, if you're selling out and you're doing well and people are buying it, that means they're, because I, you know, people don't just go to a show or buy the stuff if they haven't been a fan of your shit.
Yeah. No one, yeah.
And if you have a ton of people buying your stuff,
yeah.
It's,
I don't know if too many people who aren't a fan of mine are buying the It's Not Cheating if It's With a Dwarf Tank Top.
For sure. Because also, like, that's the, I mean, why do you sell merch? A, to make some cash. B,
sure.
Because it's you're giving the people who come to your show something extra to go.
Nice little souvenir.
It's like tangible. They can
yeah.
go and be like, oh, this reminds me of that experience.
Yeah, the same way you wanted your photo with Seinfeld.
Yeah.
To be like, hey, this night this happened. That's why they buy a T-shirt.
Yeah.
So they can go like, oh, yeah, I went to his show.
Yeah.
That was awesome. The concert T-shirts. Like, I mean, do I have a T-shirt from Chumbawamba? Maybe. From when I went to the concert tour in 99? Maybe.
Do you really?
I mean, I'm not going to say I don't have one.
Where is it?
It's in my closet. I mean,
that just reminded me, like, I definitely want to go. I just online shopped for some shoes for the first time ever.
Okay.
And it was so great and easy. And a coat. Love that coat now.
Okay.
And I'm like, I might be one of those housewives.
Uh-oh.
That wakes up at 10 a.m. on a Wednesday and just buys a lot of shit.
Well, I mean, we've both gotten to the point now where you and I both had a long time of just kind of touring and making money, don't get me wrong, but not like big money.
Yep.
And now we're kind of both creeping into that realm where we have a little, as Adam Carolla calls it, wham, which is walking around money. Just a little extra.
What does that mean?
It's just a little walking around money. Just like, hey, this isn't for rent or bills. This is for stuff that I can have a little fun with.
Gotcha.
That kind of cash.
Chumbawamba t-shirts, though. You remind, like admit that. That's next on the list of like late night shopping. I mean, just getting.
Well, you can definitely
coming
go
home drunk and being like '90s band t-shirts.
Yeah, you can definitely the same way you can go into like a YouTube video deep dive of like
that's exactly what it is.
People getting kicked in the nuts. You can absolutely do in like an Amazon.com deep dive of just like ooh.
Have you done it?
I've done it with. At one point, I was trying in my old condo. I was trying to get like a man cave, and I was looking up Papa Shots. I was looking up Ski Balls. I was looking up, and you could really go on a deep dive for that. It's pretty
Ski Balls.
Yeah, like to have in your house, like possibly if you could do that. Like who wouldn't want to come downstairs and then see essentially Chuck E. Cheese in your house every day?
Great question.
That's pretty awesome.
Dude, I would love a Chuck E. Cheese t-shirt. And or how much would you pay to have the Chuck E. Cheese band play at your wedding?
Oh, my God. I mean, all money? Take all of it? Just, wait, what was that theme song? Oh.
The Chuck E. Cheese theme?
Yeah.
Is it a theme song?
Well, they had like their own birthday song or something.
Yeah, definitely look that up.
Yeah.
And while you're looking that up, I just remember that I have video I took of when Seinfeld took the stage.
Okay.
See, they don't totally know that it's really him, and then they do.
That's awesome. They like don't believe it at first. Listen. That's amazing. And this is for 90 people.
About, yeah.
Yeah, that's great. And then he goes into a bit.
Yeah, and I stopped.
And that's great.
And then I was like, okay.
Yeah, I don't want to record the whole set. I just want to enjoy this.
Yeah, it was great. It's so cool because... in a crowd like that on a Sunday night, they're like, they're not expecting him to be up. So when he's like, the host goes, you never know who's going to pop in. Ladies and gentlemen, Jerry Seinfeld. And then people are like, oh, what?
Like, yeah, like
you heard it too.
Yeah, like there's no way, but okay. Yeah, you know what I mean? Someone's going to come up with a Jerry Seinfeld outfit. Someone's going to be wearing the pirate shirt from one of the episodes. Okay. And then Logan Seinfeld walks in.
Have you done a show where someone's...
Rock.
The Rock?
No. Chris Rock, but
ladies and gentlemen, Dwayne Johnson.
I mean, I would be really surprised if Dwayne Johnson walked up on stage.
He could do stand up, man. It's like
he could do anything.
It's next on his list of things to conquer.
That's, I mean, pro wrestling, acting, singing.
Oh yeah, Moana.
Yeah, you're welcome. That song, it was good. I liked it.
He had a pretty good voice.
Yeah, and he would sing in some of the stuff that he would do during the wrestling days. So. It like there's a lot of celebrities, actors that when they let's face it, we go on the road and we see actors that maybe are trying stand up now because either the money has run out or they're not getting parts or they're just bored for whatever reason. Jeremy Piven, you just want to go up on stage and take a spot from a comic that's actually trying to do it. Sure. That is out there. There are actors out there that do that. And for a lot of them, I get really upset.
Do you?
Because I'm like, that's not... Stay in your lane. I'm like, you know what? That's... Because you and I have like dedicated our lives to this and said like we are going to be comics, and there's many people cutting their teeth, struggling so hard just to get spots, and really talented comics out there that people don't know of.
Yeah.
And people need to discover, and they need to get time. And then when some guy that or some girl that doesn't have anything to do with stand-up just goes, you know what? I'm going to just do comedy. Just like, why not? And just goes on there and wings it with no jokes, like that really I kind of take that personally. Like there are some exceptions. You and I both saw John Mayer go up.
Yeah.
And he was good. He was good. I enjoyed
that. With Jeff Ross? Is that, yeah.
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 He had some jokes. It was late night at the Comedy Store. He was kind of messing around. He was very self-deprecating.
Yep.
Great. And then, I mean, our buddy Blake Griffin did his show at the Montreal Comedy Festival. But he's presenting other comics. He's like, hey, I'm Blake Griffin, yeah, but then look at these other great comics. That's kind of cool that he did that.
Yeah.
And then I'm just... And the fact that Mayer went up like late night when there's not that many people, that's cool because it's like a special treat for the people that hung around. But then you have the people that want to go up third on a Saturday night prime spot at the Laugh Factory. And I'm like, ugh, really?
Yeah.
That's the spot you want to start in?
I mean, the
best spot?
I always totally. I mean, and look, I they do, you know, because they go, they think maybe because... Maybe Pippen thinks because, you know, he earned his way in another, you know, aspect of this business that affords him to take a shortcut or maybe...
Sure, he's like, hey, I was on the Larry Sanders Show. That's comedy. I was on Entourage.
Or maybe he just also, maybe he's, I don't know. I think if you're, I don't think he's trying to actually do it for real.
I don't think so either.
Yeah.
And
But you still take offense to him popping in on clubs and taking spots?
Prime spots. When you're coming in on a Friday, Saturday night, and then you take a spot from someone that could really... That, and I've seen people that have gone, and like they're casual comedy fans. They go, hey, let's check out a comedy club, because this one person is there from this one TV show. And then they see that person, that actor or actress is not an actual comedian, and they kind of fuck around, and they're not good. And then that fan goes, oh, well... If that famous person isn't good at this, why would I go see Brad Williams? Because he's not famous.
Yeah. Oh, great point, actually.
You know what I mean? Because I've definitely talked to comedy fans that have had those stories where they go see an actor perform at a comedy club that's not into comedy. And then they bomb. Then they're like, well, they're not good, so fuck it. We're not going back.
I'm going to name some actors.
Yes.
Please tell me if you would be supportive or not supportive of them doing
stand-up. Well, first of all, I was saying all this because I'm saying The Rock, you have spots wherever, anytime. I will. No one's getting in the way of you. If you want to go up third, because I just think he has so much fucking charisma that I think he could do it. He could absolutely do it.
He's such a big... Yeah, I mean, he's such a pro entertainer.
Yeah, and he
stage
spoke.
Presence.
Yeah, and when he was doing wrestling, he would get on the microphone and speak in front of an arena of people, 22,000, or if it's at a WrestleMania, like, you know, and countless people watching at home. So the guy can talk. I'm not worried about that. So if he came in on a Saturday night at the Comedy Store or the Laugh Factory and said, "Hey Brad, you have to go on a little later. The Rock is here." I'd be like, "Fuck yeah!"
You'd be pumped.
I would smell what he's cooking.
I'm gonna name some other actors. You tell me yay or nay.
Okay.
Ryan Seacrest.
Yes, I am Comedy Court. I tell you who is allowed to try stand up. The buck stops here.
Ryan Seacrest.
Only if he ends with Seacrest out. Only if he ends his set by saying Seacrest out. That's the that's the only way he could do it.
Can I be honest? That's fair.
Yes.
America Ferrara.
No. No. Comedy actress? Absolutely. But if you want to go on in a prime spot on a Saturday night, no.
Okay.
It's just because now if she wants to be serious about it and she wants to actually do stand-up, okay. Maybe. But if she's just kind of doing it as a one-off,
right?
No, and I love her work. I was maybe the one guy that actually loved the Our Family Wedding. See, exactly. You don't even know what I'm talking about.
What is that?
That was a movie that she was in with Forrest Whitaker and my old boss Carlos Mencia.
Whoa!
Yeah.
Wait a minute. I think I do know that movie.
Yeah, it was a cheesy, dumb romantic comedy. But I love it.
When do you watch these movies?
Planes.
Yeah.
When I'm flying. I'm kind of excited because I'm flying. I mean, when you hear this, hopefully I'll be back from the blizzard. But I'm flying to Boston this weekend.
Back from the blizzard sounds like a movie.
Or at least like a good Dave Matthews Band album. Dave Matthews Band, Back from the Blizzard. Fuck yeah. And I'm gonna, I've got Moonlight loaded up on the iPad, and I'm finally gonna watch that movie.
Are you
all
pumped?
I am. All I know is there's a hand job somewhere in it.
What is it about?
I don't know, but there's a hand job somewhere in it, so I'm good. Can't.
Who told you that?
The Oscars. Kimmel made a joke about it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wait. Yeah, he said, like, the only happy ending.
Yeah.
Is.
And then no one got it because not everyone had seen the movie yet. But yeah, I'm excited. Oh,
that's right. And then he even said that. He goes,
yeah, like,
I take it most of you have not seen the movie.
Yeah.
That was amazing, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're. Who would piss me off if I really, Kelly Ripa.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because it's like, you host, you got all the money, you're good.
And also, it's just like, to think that you could do that and translate to stand up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. And she doesn't really do like a monologue or something where if like Kimmel comes by and does it. Yeah.
There's no, your comment, like Regis though, on the other hand, yeah, dude, I want that stand-up special so bad.
Yeah. Because that guy's got so many stories that he'd be able to plug away.
Dude,
at.
That's all it needs to be. I mean, that's a one-man show, I guess. Or you know who we talked about his face in his place, in his space, was Neil Patrick Harris.
NPH.
Yeah.
If he wanted to do stand-up, you can do anything you want, my friend.
And we joked him doing it as Doogie, but like...
I mean, I would still go see it.
Can you?
You know, something like that, or like Melissa McCarthy is... Yep. If she wanted to do that...
In her sleep, she could do it.
Yeah. That person, like, she's got so much charisma and so much talent and so much funny. Hell, she can just go up and do a Sean Spicer impression for 40 minutes. I'd watch it.
Yeah.
Did you see when Sean Spicer actually kind of referenced...
No.
Yeah.
Recently?
Yeah. He was... Someone asked him a question, and he kind of sighed a little bit and then stared at the reporter and went, "Don't make me come after you with my podium." Which is a reference to the sketch. And I thought, okay, there you go. A little self-deprecation and awareness.
Has to do that, yeah.
Just a little bit. That's all we ask for. Just every now and then just be I'm kind of fucking weird.
You want to like look at some of these people and be like, I bet you're not a total... piece of shit, but then when you go, no, your job is to back up a piece of shit and like defend, like to say that, to come out and be like, Trump didn't
biggest inauguration didn't, ever.
Well,
period.
Yeah, that was crazy. But then to be like, he didn't mean what he said about the wiretapping. That's your defense when it's like, where's the evidence?
So we're just supposed to know that? Like, oh, he's kidding.
Dude, are we really there where you can be like accuse something of that magnitude and then just be like, psych?
Well, maybe if you say psych. Maybe if Trump tries to bring psych back, I might.
There's a lot of things like that would start up as likability factor.
Yeah, it starts doing psych. Starts quoting Three Ninjas movies.
Yeah,
I mean,
guess what? Approval rating skyrockets.
Yeah. If he starts calling his son Eric Tum Tum. Hey, I'm a little Tum Tum over here. Look at Tum Tum. He runs the company. I have nothing to do with it. Tum Tum's got it. Like, if he did that, I'd be like, okay, you're coming around on me, Trump.
John Oliver said of one of the kids, he goes, he looks like, oh, he said, Eric Trump looks like what a 6-year-old would draw if he was asked to draw, like, an angry banker.
Yeah.
Or something. Yeah.
I love those, like, looks like jokes.
Yeah.
There's a sports radio show I listen to a lot, the Dan Le Batard show.
Oh, nice.
Shout out to them. And Dan's in Miami. He'll probably never come on the podcast, but I hope he does.
Try to get on his show.
Yeah, right? Next time I'm in Florida, I'll be in West Palm in June.
Nice.
Let's do it.
Love that club.
And, yeah, like, he does a game where he puts up, like, a coach and goes, this guy looks like a guy that would steal your lawnmower and then mow with it right in front of you and say, no, I got this myself. Like, and and you just look at it, you're like, that fits. Yeah. I don't know how, but that fits. I can totally see that guy doing that.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, I mean, and just so this guy looks like jokes. Speaking of Florida,
Oh, wait, I need to tell you real quick.
Sure,
also,
sure, sure.
In New York, we went out one night with our friend of the pod and friend of life, Jessamay Peluso.
Oh, I saw these videos.
Yeah.
Amazing.
She did a guest spot on the Friday late show, and then we went to the bar that she used to work at in New York, which was crazy.
Oh, wow.
She worked there for 7 years, and so they all took care of us, and her one of her friends that's there all the time is a magician, and
yeah.
And so he's doing all these bar card tricks, and they're fucking phenomenal. And then at one point he does a trick. Actually, his opening trick was, he goes, "Who has a quarter?" And he looks at me, and I go, "Of course, the Jew's got a quarter." I go, "Guess what? I don't." I go, "But if one drops, I'll pick it up."
There you go.
And then he Tag goes, somebody pulls one out, and he gives it to me, and I hold it in my hand. And then all of a sudden he does something where he waves his hands over my hand, and I open them, and the quarter is bent. And I look at it, and I go, "Okay." And he goes, "Was it like that before?" And I go, "I think it's not a great trick if you have to tell me to like recognize that it's different now."
Right.
And I was like, "Yeah, cool." I go, "That's a good opener." I go, "Fucking, yeah.
What else you got?
I go, I looked up. I go, "There was a card sticking to the ceiling." I go, "I don't know how that got there."
Yeah.
"I'd love to see you do it again."
Yeah.
And so then he started upping the ante, and it got pretty crazy. And at one point, we're outside smoking a joint, and it's freezing, and he runs across the street.
Getting high plus magic. Great combination.
Yeah, he's running across the street away from the bar, and Jessamay goes, "Where are you going?" He goes, "To get another deck of cards." And I go, "Best thing ever yelled as ever." I go, "That's the best thing, best running away from a bar line."
You know
what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, who is that? Who has ever yelled that before?
I've seen guys
like, "Yeah, I'm going to the ATM," or "I'm going to get a condom," or something like that. That makes a little more sense.
Yeah,
not
yeah.
"Going to get a deck of cards." Yeah. What? There's a story behind
another
that.
Another deck of cards.
Yeah, another one.
Yeah, yeah.
I've already used up the one.
Yeah.
Yeah. On your Instagram, he was doing a trick where he had Jessamay hold a die.
Yeah.
Singular for dice. Yeah, thank you, USC education. in her hands and like kind of shake it up.
Yep.
And then without showing it to him, he could predict what number was on top.
Yep.
And I saw it like three times on your Instagram with no cuts or whatever.
Yeah.
And it was pretty incredible.
Yeah.
It was
real reaction.
Yeah. And here's the thing about magic is, we know it's a trick. We know there's a way that you're doing it. No one's an actual fucking sorcerer. But
you want to buy into it a little bit.
But it's still cool.
Yeah.
It's still cool.
Why would you go against magic? Why would you bet
happy.
Against? Why would you? I mean, even when I saw Copperfield in Vegas, and it was like, some of the shit was, you know, when he was like, "I'm gonna make this balloon inside the box pop." You're like, on paper, not impressed,
right?
You know, and then you see it live, and he does it, and you go, "Oh shit!" And then all of a sudden, that box blows up and turns into a rose, and he gives it to a girl that he no doubt probably DM'd on Instagram later or followed into the parking lot or
sure.
pulled backstage. But,
sure.
But, you know, so it's like you want to give yourself over to the same way you go to a movie and you see Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
You know that Chris Pratt really wasn't running away from dinosaurs. But guess what, man? Way more fun to believe that he did.
It's fun. It's fun if you give yourself into it. And the magician you saw was doing close-up magic, which I love. I love the close-up stuff.
Yeah.
Like the David Blaine stuff on the street.
Unreal.
Blows my fucking mind.
I want to be one of those people.
That reacts.
I want to run away from a trick.
That just goes, "Oh, shit!"
Yeah.
And just run.
Yeah.
And just run away and be like, why are you running away?
That's also like so funny to be that impressive. Or just mind-blowing that people were like, "I can't even... I need to run away from a card trick."
Yeah.
Because I don't know what's going to happen next.
Yeah, well, like, I don't know, he did a trick with Harrison Ford where, like, he did a card trick or whatever, and then he told Harrison Ford, "Cut open that melon over there." And then he's like, "What?"
And Harrison Ford, looked at him with such a, like, suspicious...
Like, what do you mean, cut open the melons? And
he also looked at him with his face of like, "It better not be in that melon."
Turns out the card was in the melon.
And then he smiled.
He smiled and then just looked right at David Blaine and goes, "Get the fuck out of my house." And when Han Solo tells you, when the president from Air Force One, the same guy that goes, "Get off my plane," goes, "Get the fuck out of my house," you're like, okay.
When the second lead in Hollywood Homicide tells you to get the fuck out.
Wow, deep cut Ford reference.
Yeah.
Which I saw that movie.
Still, Ford always good.
Yeah, Ford.
Never... Harrison Ford, never bad. Exactly. That's his slogan.
Yeah. And unless he's flying a plane into John Wayne Airport and nearly colliding with American Airlines flight.
Really?
Oh, you didn't see that story?
No.
Oh, it was...
He almost lost Harrison Ford?
We almost lost a few things, but yeah, Harrison Ford was one of them. He was coming into John Wayne Airport, which is my hometown airport, shout out, Orange County, and he starts landing on a runway, and it's just him in the plane. That's it. He starts landing on a runway, but he thought it was like a closed down runway just for like private planes. Okay. No, it was an active runway that had flights coming in, and they said he missed an American Airlines plane by like 250 feet or like 300 feet, which you're like 300 feet, that's not close, but it is. When it's planes coming in, like the American Airlines plane was getting ready to take off, and then he kind of flies right in front of it and kind of
Do they have audio of...
They do. And one of his things was, he goes like, was that an American Airlines flight? Like he kind of... You're like, all right, maybe old man Ford's getting too old to fucking fly planes. Like, once you start getting the senior citizens discount at Friendly's restaurants,
that's so funny.
Maybe you don't go up in the plane.
But
it's Han Solo. You can't tell Han Solo not to fly.
No, dude, you let him do what he wants to do.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
That's so crazy. I don't know, if I got my pilot's license, I'd probably be flying everywhere too.
Yeah, why not?
Like, what? I mean, dude, are you kidding me? Like,
it's fun.
Right now, if we could just be like, hey, or if you could fly to your gig,
yeah,
fly yourself to. Although I mean, but look, you're still. It's one of those things too, where it's like, yeah, I could paint my house if I had a house, but but there's probably someone who could paint it better.
Yeah,
you know. So it's
same
like,
way.
If you get your license, you're like, yeah, I can fly myself to here, but like. Do I trust somebody that's been doing it for 20 years more so?
Right. And if you mess up painting your house, you don't, you know, crash into the earth in a fiery
you
ball
don't
of
lose
hell.
Han Solo.
I get it, man. It's like, do you tell Han Solo not to fly? I don't know.
So speaking of Han Solo, you were not Solo on the on the Florida putt-putt course.
What a transition. Speaking of Han Solo, you were not Solo. Wow. Well done, sir. Well done.
You were in Orlando.
Yeah, I was in Orlando doing the Orlando Improv. Great club.
Did you go to Disney World?
I did not go to Disney World because I went last year. And
there's the rule of dwarf where it's do not go to your hometown back to back.
Exactly.
What happened last time, by the way? I'm sure we talked about it, but
yeah. Well, I went to Epcot and I did the drinking around the world.
I want to do that,
and
I don't know if it's a bucket list item, but I want to do that.
It's fun, but there's a you get drunk very quickly. After
yeah, what country did Two Beer Brad stop at?
Spain, because they had.
Were you about to say Spanish?
Yeah, Spanish. Apparently, I'm still feeling the effects.
Yeah.
But yeah, I stopped at Spain because they had some Spanish wine that was really good. But it was after that where I'm like, well, I'm really fucked up, and I've got a show tonight, so
wow.
I need to sober up.
So they really do. I mean, is it like a very generous pour, and they
yeah.
And you get, like, what, one pass for around the world, and then you just show your
pass?
Well,
no, you just go to the park, and you just start walking all these different different areas. They have all these different stations for countries. Yeah, start off in Canada.
That's such a great idea. And yeah. It's so fun. Because guess what? There's probably a small piece of you, the more you fucked up you get, where you're like, I never thought I'd see the world. I'm getting to do it. You know, like, where you actually are like, you know, because I'm sure they're, I don't know if they have people in the native tongue at each bar.
They do. They do. At least every bar I went to, there's a person speaking German at the German bar.
That's what I'm saying.
There was a guy speaking Spanish with the lisp from Spain.
Would you like a spaghetti bolognese?
That's Italian, but sure. There was that, and there was a Japanese guy giving me sake in Japan. So
wow. That
was kind of cool. And I think I got to five countries, and then some of my friends were like, all right, we're going to Mexico next in tequila. And I'm like, oh, that's good. That's going to kill me.
Yeah, that'll be the end.
That'll, yeah.
I will definitely try to finger mini, if that's what if tequila is involved.
Watch out, mini. You know what? No, it's just good, man. This is good. Like, it's just a mouse.
You know what, though? But again, like...
You know, she got a bow.
With your
cute.
With your Disney past, like, if you... I mean, sure. You could probably at least massage your way back. Just to be like, yo, I left my something, or I'm reporting for some sort of... I'm here for backup parade security.
Dude, I can... As a dwarf... There's a lot of things you can do and get away with.
Yep.
I think that one of those is definitely just walk backstage at Disneyland and just be like, no, I'm here. Because who's gonna
stop you?
Who's gonna look at the dwarf and be like, no, he doesn't work here? Obviously, he works there. Obviously.
Well, next time.
Yeah, I'll just walk backstage and I'll follow Minnie.
Now, how do people perceive you at the Putt-Putt Park?
Oh, at the Putt-Putt Park. Wow, good job saying that quickly. Yeah, because there was this great miniature golf course, and it's weird saying great miniature golf course, because there's a lot of trashy golf courses with, like, just a weird boat or a dragon or the crappy windmill hole.
Yeah, a headshot of, like, the ex-wife of the owner. He's just like, knock the ball off her face.
Yeah, please, just ram it. Just don't even hit the ball. Just take your club. Just start beating.
The hole in one is if you get the ball into her mouth.
Like my brother did. That asshole. You're like, oh God, he's having PTSD of his wife. But there's this thing. It was right next to the hotel. It's called Pirate's Cove in Orlando. And apparently they're all around the country. And it's a whole pirate-themed miniature golf course. But, dude, some of the holes, they're elaborate. They built an entire pirate ship just for one hole. You're on a pirate ship for one hole. It was crazy. It was a lot of fun. There was definitely a lot of kids that were kind of looking at me like, I'm pretty sure he's supposed to be wearing an eye patch. Like, you know, he's like part of this. But the best thing I saw by far was a couple, and the guy was taking this very seriously. First of all, he had a Nike golf hat on. I don't think you bring a Nike golf hat to the miniature golf course. Like, no one's looking at him wearing the Nike golf hat going like, well, he knows what he's doing. He must be a professional.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it's freaking putt-putt. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, dress appropriate.
Yeah. It's shorts and a t-shirt.
And also, like, don't put the pressure on yourself. You wear that sort of an outfit, like...
Yeah. Like, would you go to the batting cages wearing a full baseball uniform?
Yes.
Well, okay. Like,
good question.
Yeah, well, I mean, as long as it's Jay Buhner, right?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. So, you're right. Bad example.
Yeah, yeah.
But, so he's all into it. He's setting up. He's putting. And then he's got his girlfriend there that's just, and they're playing right in front of us. She's just hitting the ball. She's just like, whatever. Hit it. And then, like, before the ball comes to a stop, she stops it with her putter and then, like, hits it back and, like, whatever. And then he starts getting pissed.
Of course.
He starts getting mad. Like, there are rules. There are rules to this putt-putt golf.
Jesus.
Like, there, and he's saying, like, come on, play the game. Play the game. And it's like, are you betting on this? Are you?
Were they?
No.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, are you and your girlfriend, like, all right, loser. Loser gets anal. You know, like, is that...
Gets it?
Yeah. Or maybe the winner gets it. I don't know. Never done it. That's a whole other story. But yeah, it's like, I don't know what's at stake for this couple, but the guy's getting mad at her for, like, not taking the putt-putt seriously.
Dude, putt-putt, especially for... Even if... Dude, I don't care if it's 4 dates in or 4 years in. If you're putt-putting...
Yeah.
Like, you should only... fun should be the only reason you're doing it.
Yes.
It should be one of those things where it should almost be, like, softening the blow and, like, and be what's happening after an argument where it's like, I'm sorry. You want to go play putt-putt? Like, let's do something to lighten the mood now.
Absolutely.
Not to create more tension.
Yeah, there's a freaking hole where you putt your ball, it goes into a cannon, and then the cannon launches it over a river... On to this other green.
I mean, maybe I don't know what happened prior. If they're arguing at putt-putt, you come in with that anger. Like it sounds to me like it's a bad idea.
Yeah, he wanted to go to the real driving range, and then she's like, no, let's just go to putt-putt.
For sure. And even prior to that, like maybe she saw or he saw some message from her ex in his in her Facebook inbox, and she's like, "I didn't respond. Why is he messaging you?"
Right.
I didn't respond.
Yeah.
He can message me. If I don't respond, it's not bad. Okay. Okay. Are you cool? Yeah. Yeah. Do you still want to go play putt-putt?
Yeah, yeah.
Of course I do. You think I'm going to
lose?
That fucking asshole ruined my putt-putt? Oh, my God. Are you going to bring this up? No, no. But then he does.
And then he does.
Through the form of, like, her right. taking too long.
Right.
Or, you know.
It's like, oh, you're just taking your time, huh? Not you're just ignoring the rules. Much like the rules of a monogamous relationship.
Yeah.
Just freaking out.
Well, you really took your time on that shot. Were you thinking about what to respond with later on Facebook tonight? I mean, there's just, you know.
Yeah. So
it's a place of peace.
Putt-putt is a place of peace. Pretty sure if we can get the Palestinians and the Jews together and just
for one putt-putt
just have them play putt-putt. Just have them play putt-putt.
You joke, not a bad idea.
You know what? Not a bad idea. So they didn't even last the whole 18 holes.
Oh, that's not a good sign.
They start fighting, and then they just and then.
By the way, that's a reality show where each hole has like some. You put couples on a putt-putt course, and
right.
there's a cash prize, and you put obstacles along the way. Like,
yeah.
On one hole, you have an ex-boyfriend of hers.
Yeah.
Stand there,
just be like, "Hey, thinking about you."
Yeah.
That's it.
And she has to putt around it.
Yeah. And that's kind of distracting her. I like that.
Every hole, it's like if you par that hole, you get certain prizes.
Yeah.
It's like basketball meets The Price is Right.
Meets PGA.
Meets
yeah.
PGA.
Yeah. Meets golf. I like it,
We're
man.
We're onto something.
I think we are. So they tap out at one point. The guy just yells out, "Enough of this." And he walks away. And the girl, "Oh, my God, what's going on?" And then, like, she chases after him. I never saw him again after that. I don't know if they're still together. But, I mean, breaking up over putt-putt, like...
is a Toni Braxton lyric.
Breaking up over putt-putt, say the windmill again.
Get the red ball next to the blue ball, then in the hole before your partner does, and you'll win a slushy from the front desk if the guy who works there hasn't eaten all the slushy mix. 'Cause he's 46 and bored and doesn't have a girlfriend.
Still working at a putt-putt. Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Like, I mean, can you imagine going on a date and then maybe your girlfriend or maybe like says, you know what? Because sometimes people ask weird questions on the first date. You go, "How did your last relationship end?" You're like, "Well, we went to a putt-putt course." Like, right then, you're like, "No, yeah. This date's over."
Yeah.
I can't be with someone who breaks up over putt-putt. Do you have any weird breakup stories? Like, what's the weirdest reason? I've got one. I've got one strange.
Well, one break, I mean,
yeah.
Not a weird reason, a sad reason.
Uh-oh.
Sophomore year, I was dating a senior, and she broke up with me to go to prom with her friend. I thought I was going to go to prom with her.
Yeah.
She's like, "No, I'm going to go to prom with a senior." Like, oh. a guy that I knew she also had a crush on.
Okay.
I was devastated.
So she
And I was friends
out.
With this guy, too.
Oh.
And I was funnier than him.
Yeah.
And everything. But I'm 2 years younger, and it's like, go to prom with a senior.
And they
had a whole group that were all friends.
Looking back, you I mean, it's
But that was the end of it after that, too.
Yeah. Like, you kind of understand, but you're still mad.
Oh, because her and I were like, dude, it's so funny to look back. I mean, she's now married with a couple kids, but it's like, I think about how hard I, like, fell for her. And, like,
yeah.
Remember when she told me, like, yo, she worked at the customer service while I was a bagger at Albertsons. That's how the romance blossomed, by the way.
Well, I mean.
Typical love story.
Sure. I mean, I'm pretty sure Meg Ryan and Billy Crystal were in a movie about that.
It's like when I said, like, when I hooked up with the girl at the service deli when I was a junior in high school and she was, like, 24, which I think is not legal.
Mm-hmm.
24 and 17.
Yeah, that's not legal.
And she used to give me like free, sandwiches or potato salad. And then she gave me a hand job in a car. And I didn't really talk to her after that. And then when I would go up to the deli and be like, "Hey, I'm on break. Can I get some potato salad?" She's like, "I'm busy." And I was like, Uh-oh. Did I just jerk myself out of potato salad? The Adam Ray story.
Yeah. I like that, man.
So, yeah, getting dumped for the prom date. I mean, that's, you know, devastating, bad breakup.
Yeah.
Cried a lot.
That, and it's high school, so that's, like, the most important thing to you.
Dude, especially
in your life at that point.
Sophomore, too, like, dude, 16, 17, like, that's like, dude, emotions are running on high.
And you're dating a senior, so you're like, I'm the best person in school.
I mean, yeah, there's a cool factor to it for sure, and, like, getting to hang out. Yeah, but you know what? Let's call her. And not talk to her. Let's talk to her kids. Just and see what side of the story they've been told.
Right. Because I'm sure they've sat him down. I'm sure when they said, how did mommy meet daddy? And she goes, well, it goes back further than that.
I do wonder if she, I mean, she's messaged me here and there to say, like, congrats on things. Or actually, she was in L.A. And asking for recommendations of shows. But I do wonder if, because you forget we're so deep into what we're doing that, like, yeah, to the outside eye and the people who we grew up with who were so far removed, it's pretty cool, right? And, like, to be in a movie, to perform in some of these shows we do, and to tour the cut, to be doing it, like, is... we're constantly putting one foot in front of the other and trying to climb the charts and top what we do and get better every day. But, like, you know, we've got to do a lot of cool shit, and that's a big deal to people back home.
Yeah, some people see that. I always wonder because...
do they brag about it is what I'm saying.
I know Adam Ray.
Oh, really? You got to motorboat Sandra Bullock? Well, I broke up with him for a senior. So
I dumped that guy. How cool.
So, yeah, I dumped the guy who got to motorboat Sandra Bullock. So I pretty much motorboated Sandra Bullock, too. Because he's motorboated me before I dumped him.
Right. Not good enough for me.
Yeah.
I wonder, man. And I would love that. Now... Well, I know for a fact that's happened for some of my exes because I once got a very strange message on Facebook.
Oh no!
From a guy that was dating a girl who I'd hooked up with at one point, and this is back like right after high school. So it's his hometown. It's 10 years ago, whatever. And apparently, they were watching my special.
Oh.
And she casually mentioned, like, you know, I used to date him, and we kind of had a thing after high school, and then he got pissed because he's like, that guy was like one of my favorite comedians, and now you've ruined that because now I'm not going to be able to look at him without seeing him with you, like in my head. So he wrote me to tell me this, and I go, like, I don't know what you want me to do. If you want me to, like, be like the TV show Quantum Leap and, like, go back in time and just be like, and then have the guy like, well, Ziggy says you're not supposed to fuck her this time.
Yeah,
like, I don't know what he wanted from me, but I just wrote him back like, hey, be happy that you're with a great girl and she likes you and you guys have similar tastes in comics. Her a little bit more of a taste than others, but that's not what I'm saying, man. That's not what I'm saying.
Congratulations.
Yeah, what I'm saying is mazel tov.
That's so funny.
Yes. So, that was definitely a weird thing. So, yeah, some people do talk about that, and, like, yeah, you wonder about those stories, and they're out there.
Did you did a lot of romantic activities for not being with your fiance in Orlando? You also told me you met people and you went on a boat. And you went on their lake?
Yep.
Now, did you meet them or did you show up at some sort of, like, did you win a contest where it was like, you know, like...
hang out with Brad Williams?
Yeah.
No, my opener that weekend, great comic.
Four Shaw. We got to get him on the pod.
Absolutely. And he's got some stories because that dude, he used to be a marine biologist.
Shut the fuck up.
He was a scientist, dude. And now he's a comedian. He opens up for Jim Jefferies a lot. So he was out there with me, and he had these friends that said they had a boat, and they said, you want to come out on the boat? And I'm like, well, yeah, of course I want to come on the boat. Does it have life jackets? I'm not a good swimmer. But they did, and they were given a tour of this lake that we were on the boat on, and the guy suddenly turns and goes, oh, and you see that house right there? That's Carrot Top's house.
What?
Like, he said it like it was the coolest thing ever. Like, that. That's Carrot Top's house.
What was your reaction?
My reaction is like, first of all,
props built that.
Yeah. That like props built a house, and it was a nice house.
It's got to be.
It was a huge house.
What do you think his net worth is?
Oh God. Well,
100 mil.
Let's look at celebritynetworth.com, which is an actual website.
Really?
Yeah.
How do they know, though?
I have no idea.
They don't have access to my tax returns.
1 year.
1 year.
Yeah.
You're happy.
So, let's see. I'm bringing up celebritynetworth.com.
Rachel Maddow, don't have shit on me.
So, you're saying 100 million. That's what you're saying.
Oh, for sure.
Okay.
Because he's been doing that Vegas show for a while, and I bet that's...
Yeah?
I bet that's 20 mil a year.
Something like that, you would think. CelebrityNetWorth.com was being very slow. But, yeah, you can... I'll look it up in a second. Jesus. Come on, man. But, yeah, it was a very nice house, but it was almost disappointing seeing the house and how nice it was. Not because the man doesn't deserve a nice house, but because I want it to be a wacky house. Like, it's... It's Carrot Top. Yeah.
You want it to be like the blank check house.
Yes. I want water slides coming out of the side and like, hey, this is how I get to my breakfast table every morning. Because Carrot Top, kind of a clown character.
Yeah.
You know, and with the hair and everything like that and all the props he builds. Like, you know, I wanted a pool that has like a treadmill on it that you just lay on the treadmill and it goes. So you're like, hey, this is how I impress girls. Like, this is how it looks like I swim really fast. Or just something. I wanted a trampoline going up to a basketball hoop. Like, this is how white guys dunk. I wanted something. Like, I wonder if there's that pressure, like, the same way as comedians. People always say, like, you know, oh, you're a comic, you know, be funny all the time. I wonder if there's that pressure of, like, Carrot Top, like, you've got a house, like, what do you put in it?
Yeah.
You know, like, the same way, does Mark Summers have the pressure of, like, having a full-fledged double dare course in his house?
Hilarious.
Which, I mean, Mark, come on, you got to.
I think, you know... He probably is around so much jokey, silly shit that it's like, yo, let my house... Also, look, when you come from the stand-up world and the prop world and he's like grinding it out for so long and then you can make that much cash, you're like, let me reward myself.
Yeah.
Like, if I had the millions that he had, I mean, you know, I've said this from the get-go, like, yeah, I would have so much, you know, I'd have a statue of the scene when Tom Hanks found out that Mini Forrest Gump was his baby. I'd have that, and you know, I'd have a statue of him, Haley Joel Osment, and Jenny in the front of my house. You know, the same way that like, there's a statue of Walt and Mickey at Disneyland?
Yeah.
I'd have Forrest, little Forrest, and Jenny at the front of my house.
I mean,
and people go, why do you have that? And I go, why not?
I mean, they all love each other.
Yep.
So
you're walking into a house of love.
Yeah.
What a beautiful moment. What a great thing to see before you come into my house.
Right.
Me feeling good. If you were feeling bad, if you were getting into an argument, if you just broke up with your girl over putt-putt, and now you're at my house, I don't want you to bring that shitty energy into my place.
Exactly.
Take a minute.
Makes sense.
A step back. Remember the end of Gump. Remember what happened.
Sure.
You know, don't remember what happened after that. Jenny died of AIDS. But remember.
At one point, they're all under one roof.
Yeah.
And all loving each other. I personally like that.
Thank you.
I think that's a great idea, and now you have it in my head. So now, if and when you get your house and you don't have that, I'll be very disappointed.
I will.
I don't know if I'm gonna have to like.
I don't know how much.
Figure out a way to do it. Like I send you Gump action figures that are smaller, but still gets the job done.
Yeah, at that point, you have to have a crew of people that like make those, you know, investigate those types of possibilities. Like you have to. There's probably like a statue company, right? Could you just Google statue company? You call
probably
me like,
good.
Hey, how much to get Jenny pre-AIDS Gump and baby Gump? And they go, what?
Like, first of all, put down the mushrooms. Secondly, what do you want?
It probably can't be more than 20 grand.
I mean, it depends on how big the statue is and what it's made out of. If it's solid marble, then yeah, it's going to be pretty expensive. But if it's just, I don't know.
Yeah, Play-Doh.
Yeah, but dried.
Yeah.
You know, in an oven.
Fimo clay.
Sure. Do that.
Wow, that'd be amazing, actually.
It's possible. You know, just,
The statues, actually, you know what? That's actually, instead of having, like, you know, people have, like, you know, cool you know, like in my place now, I've got a Chris Farley picture and a Rob Williams thing. It's like, maybe have statues of all them around your place.
I mean, isn't that,
I'd have like a,
isn't that what the Laugh Factory in Long Beach did?
Yeah, but those are like Madame Tussauds wax figurines.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They're, you know,
and
those,
the, and the
Jim, they're pretty good.
And the Jim Carrey one's creepy as fuck.
Yeah, man, it's like, they're okay.
Yeah. You want,
I wouldn't
you want
hire like good, that guy is what I'm saying.
Right.
The Eddie Murphy looks like Whoopi Goldberg.
Yeah, it does.
And the Whoopi Goldberg looks like...
It looks like Predator.
Yeah.
Like it's got the dreads coming out.
It looks like that guy Leon from the Muppets. Remember he kind of talked like this? He had big sunglasses and...
Wow. Good reference. I like that.
We've got some big shows coming up.
I'm
in Dallas you hear this.
Yeah. So hopefully you saw you
hopefully
in Dallas.
You saw me in Dallas. No, that's tonight.
Oh, okay.
Tonight's my first night in Dallas.
Oh, okay.
Oh, wait, no.
No, because no. Wait. This is going to come out on Monday.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah. So
thank you, Dallas.
And thank you, Boston. And then, yeah, but what do you got coming up?
A lot of tour dates on AdamRayTV.com. St. Louis Funny Bone, San Francisco Punchline, Parlor in Seattle, Reno Laugh Factory, and the April Foolishness Show, which you will sadly not be attending.
I will not be because I will be in Cleveland. So the first weekend of April, come see me at the Cleveland Improv. But yeah, I'm going to miss doing the show. It's one of my favorite shows to do. We've both done it. And for those who are outside of Los Angeles, Kevin and Bean, amazing DJs out here.
Been around for what, 20 plus years?
At least. They
kind
do.
Kind of the kings of SoCal morning radio.
Yeah.
And they just get every big name on their show. It's 4 hours of, right? 4 hour show?
Yeah, 4 hour show. Six to 10. But, I mean, they're a big show. Like Christian Bale, after he went on his crazy rant where he was like, oh, good for you. Yeah. Good.
You fucking cat.
Yeah. He called up Kevin and Bean, and that's where he did his public apology.
Oh my god!
On the Kevin and Bean show,
that's incredible.
So yeah,
I mean, they get everybody, and they put on amazing events, and the K-Rock acoustic Christmas that we went to with Green Day and Weezer and Bastille and the Heart. I mean, they do that every year,
awesome.
And then they do the Foolishness show at the Shrine again this year. It's me, Angela Johnson, Jonah Ray, Bill Burr,
Jimmy Pardo,
Taylor Williamson.
Yeah, great
and,
lineup.
And stellar lineup. And the Shrine is unbelievable. Obviously, next to USC where we went. Mm-hmm. Used to do the Oscars there. I saw David Gray there when I was super high my sophomore year. And
good call.
Saw a guy try to rush the stage, which, you know.
For David Gray?
Yeah, for sure.
Not, you know, not Taylor Swift or the Spice Girls or Backstreet Boys, but
David Gray. During like a soft,
right.
Like, during a, no, it was during a Babylon.
Oh, yeah. Because that's the only song we know that David Gray did.
I know many more than that.
You know more than Babylon?
Fuck yeah.
What's your second favorite David Gray song? As he looks at his phone.
No, it's called Please Forgive Me.
Okay.
How do you not know that?
I don't know that. No, I'm not deep into the David Gray catalog.
Well, you should be.
Should I be?
Yep. I'm going to play it for you.
Okay.
But yeah, that's April 1st. I think tickets, I tweeted out links on my site.
And it goes to some great charities. I know it goes
great to charity.
Fisher House, which provides homes for veterans as they're getting care. And then Cedars Sinai NICU, which is the hospital that newborn babies go to. And
yep.
if you don't support that hospital, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Yeah.
It's the NICU.
Yeah.
Come on.
And if you did support the hospital and we falsely accuse you, then please forgive me.
Oh, jeez.
Which is the name of this song.
Oh, file. File.
You don't recognize
joke.
This song? It's probably been in every Grey's Anatomy montage.
I was about to say, this sounds very Grey's Anatomy. Some guy sounding like Bob Dylan also singing on this. Ew.
You don't recognize this?
No. Do you say I don't reckon this? Well, no, Adam. I don't reckon this David Gray song at all.
No, I guarantee you nobody who says reckon listens to David Gray.
It's probably a safe bet.
Here it is. Wait.
Okay.
You know, because there's the chorus is very familiar. Virginities have been lost to this chorus.
I would hope so.
Couples have cried after putt-putt breakups over this.
I don't want to lose my virginity and then have the song be Please Forgive Me. Not a good choice. Not a good choice. I don't know. Was this playing at the end of Ally McBeal episodes?
Totally. Dude, yeah. Every one of those, like, yeah, Fox dramedies.
Right, right, right.
Maybe the end of... this was like if David Gray was around when Dawson's Creek, this would have been a staple.
Yeah.
All right, here's the chorus. Wait. Here it comes.
Sure is taking his sweet-ass time. Come on, David Gray. Step it up a notch.
Wait.
Did we pass it already?
That part.
Oh, yeah.
Just that little guitar?
Yeah, I've heard
no,
that part.
No, you don't recognize it?
No, I've heard that part. Yeah. I feel...
Me crying over no more potato salad because of hand jobs is what I think of when I hear that.
I feel like I feel like a lot of pints of Ben and Jerry's ice cream have been consumed to that song. Lots of them.
Yeah.
Fuck him!
What was your go-to cry song?
Ooh.
And then we'll wrap this up.
Go-to cry song. I think I have it. Hold on.
All right. Well, while you're pulling yours up, I'll tell you what mine was.
Yeah.
Sixth grade, Janet Matta broke up with me. Or maybe it was mutual.
What
I told somebody this the other day. But Janet, if you're listening, I still think about you, girl. No. that was a sad day. And I remember my sister told me this. She goes, all I remember is she goes, when you broke up with Janet, your sixth grade girlfriend, you put on this song. And played it over. My sister goes, you played it over and over again in your room and cried.
Oh, man.
And I was like, oh, my God, I remember that. Thanks for bringing that up. It's so funny the things you forget, and then you have your sibling be like, I was a couple years older and will never forget that shit because it was fucking
right.
Ridiculous. And here's the song that I played every 2 minutes and cried in the sixth grade.
I know this song. What the fuck is this song?
What do you mean, what the fuck is this song?
I know this song. Can you feel the love tonight? I mean,
dude, what a great song to cry to.
How did your sister not just die laughing?
Just picture fat sixth grade Adam sitting in his bed going, in the day moments, and to see me through, you can see through every part of me. I'm a restless warrior. I want to be with you, but I can't be with you because sixth grade's getting in the way. Can you feel the love tonight? Tonight. I would love if I was like mid-cry and still had enough to pull back and go, tonight.
Like
and
sing the back. Doing the harmonies. I love that.
Wait, real quick. Speaking of the Lion King, in New York.
And I've got mine ready.
We'll close it out.
Okay.
Went to the Lion King, took Sandy Danto and Avery Pearson.
Nice.
Sandy's first Broadway show.
Oh, my God.
We sat first row. Those only seats were left.
Wow.
And so I forgot. There's a part during the Circle of Life when they have all the animals come out.
Yeah, and they're walking down the aisles and stuff.
And a giraffe, like, bent down.
Yeah.
And the face is like, we're front row. And I ate a weed bean, and it was right in front of me. And I went, whoa! And there are these kids sitting next to me. They're just like fucking cracking up.
What the fuck is wrong with him?
And I was, dude, I was like a kid in fifth grade again, trying to make my friends laugh during the teachers or during like the sex ed talk.
Yeah.
All over again. Because during the whole show, I kept whispering jokes to Sandy and crying laughing. And I'm going to tell you one of them.
Okay.
At one point when they're Simba and Timon and Pumbaa, grown up Simba, they're laying there looking at the stars. And,
yep.
And Timon's like, what do all those stars up there mean?
Mm-hmm.
And Pumbaa's like, they're big balls of gas. And then Timon's like, no, they're not, dummy. And then he goes, Simba, what are they? And he goes, they're the
old kings.
They're
right?
The old kings looking down on us. All the great kings of the past. And I lean over to Sandy and I go, Martin Luther, Berger, LeBron, the kings of comedy, and soon to be Larry. Sandy starts laughing. Dude, I start crying laughing.
All the great kings. Francis Scott. All of them. Wait, no, Francis Scott Key. Jesus, yeah. It's not even a king. Oh, fuck boy. Me. That's I ruined the joke. There. I ruined the joke.
And then at one point, by the way, just the, on the point of like
Bernard. There.
There you go.
There's a king.
seeing things as an adult, there was a moment. It was a great, like, when Nala finds Simba and she's like, what happened? Why didn't you ever? I don't know if she said, why didn't you call? But she was like, where were you? You just disappeared. You never, like, why wouldn't you come back or whatever? And she's yelling at him and he walks away and he just goes, it's fine. He goes, just leave me alone. He goes, Hakuna Matata. And she goes, what? And he goes, it's something I learned out here, Hakuna Matata. And she goes, what are you talking about? And I go, dude, that was like a fucking married couple argument where like the dude went away on some weird like Burning Man trip.
Yeah.
He goes back and he goes, Hakuna Matata. She goes, what? He goes, I learned it in the woods. Right. You wouldn't understand. Timon and Pumbaa, these animals I met, taught me this thing. She goes, what the fuck are you talking about?
Have you ever tried ayahuasca? No, you haven't.
Hakuna Matata. Like, it was just such a real... Like, I felt like I was watching two adults argue over, like...
Oh, that's perfect, because you see it... Yeah, you see it through those adult eyes.
Yeah.
All right. So, when...
Anyway, Can You Feel the Love Tonight? I will be listening to that tonight and crying.
When Leanna Boer and I broke up...
You could have been Brad Boer?
I could have been Brad Boer, which sounds like a wrestling villain.
Leanna Boer? Is she still out there?
Hell yeah. I'm friends with her. She's great.
Hell yeah.
Leanna Boer and I broke up in the 7th grade... This is...
Who broke up with who?
I mean, I pretended like it was mutual, but it was but it was definitely Boer? Her. It was...
She went full Boer?
Coming this fall to Nickelodeon.
Full Boer.
Full Boer. You don't want to go full Boer. This is what I went home and cried to.
Dude. I love this song.
Edwin McCain. It's a great song. Gotta love it. And every time you sing it, you have to like, your face looks like you're having a facelift because like you're pulling back like.
Oh, Edwin McCain went deep.
Hills and mountains.
Yeah. Yo, I'm surprised it was this and not I Could Not Ask for More. That's his other hit, you know.
I do remember that one.
Edwin McCain, staple of the '90s, dude. I'll put him up there with Chumbawamba.
Right.
And LF Mayfo. What is it?
Sure.
LMAFMO?
LFO.
LFO.
Yeah. Yeah. I was totally into this music. I was into... Do you remember Sister Hazel?
Yeah.
And all that what it is I see in you.
Of course.
That song? Great song.
Not a cry song.
This one is.
I love you, Leanna Boer.
Why'd you leave me?
I'll be your Boer.
I'll be your Boer for the rest of our lives.
Oh, B.
Right in front of my locker, too.
Yeah.
So every time I go to my locker, I'm going to be thinking of you.
I'll be better when I'm older. These lyrics are so, like...
Friend of your life.
Is it greatest friend of your life?
Greatest friend of my life.
All right, so maybe it was kind of... So this is a good song to cry to, because you're like, oh, the relationship's over.
Yeah.
Is that what the song's about?
I think so. Like, he's saying, like, hey, don't leave. I think he's saying, like, hey, don't leave me because I'm going to be all these things.
Gotcha.
I'll be everything that you need.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and I'm like.
You type out the lyrics and send them to her? You sappy fuck.
Damn right. Well, you know what? Tweet us.
Tweet us your breakup cry song.
Yeah.
Hashtag breakup song.
Yeah. What's your breakup song? Yeah.
And, there's a lot out there. There's a lot of good ones.
And
I don't feel like you can top the ones we just played.
I want to hear them all, unless your song is that one, like, this is my fight song.
Oh, God.
Turn back my life song.
Fuck that. We're not talking about motivating.
No.
Pick yourself up. Pick up the pieces.
No.
We're talking about everything's falling apart.
Right.
It's broken. Life is over. You're crying in the sixth grade. And the only person that can get you through it is Elton John.
Darn right, everybody.
So
see you at the live shows.
See you at the live shows.
Tune in next week and enjoy Elton. So radio DJ. That's right.
And Leanna Boer, if you're out there.
This is what you missed, Leanna. A podcaster.
We should actually, dude, real quick, that's what we should do. Get Leanna Boer and Janet Matta on the phone next week. Boer and Matta together.
Thanks for tuning in. We had laughs and stories. Now go.
Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray. Boy, they're a lot of fun, huh? Why don't you subscribe on iTunes to this fucking podcast? Give them a 5-star rating so this midget and this Jew can feel good about themselves for a couple minutes. Also, get on your iPhone or Android and get the podcast app. You can also listen to it on Stitcher or aboutlastnightpodcast.com, where you can hear past episodes with great guests like Lisa Kudrow, Paul Feig, Kevin Nealon, Bob Saget, Dion Cole, Chris D'Elia, Adam Devine, Michael McDonald, Jaleel White, Bud Friedman, Steve-O, Harlan Williams, Tom Arnold, Ron Funches, Rick Glassman, Blake Anderson, Anders Holm, Jessamay Peluso, Joey McIntyre, and many, many more. I'm Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast. Good night. That's it, right? You got it? Sweet. Boy, it smells good in that booth, by the way. What kind of candle is that? Hanukkah Willow? Nice.